This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron corn herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and university trials. And by Simplot Grower Solutions, we're in your fields and by your side. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com. The boat is floating. But that did not stop crude oil futures from finding a way to push back above 60 bucks. Corn, soybeans, bean meal were lower, bean oil, winter wheat futures higher. Cattle, both the large and small size, traded higher, with lean hog futures moderately lower.
Live from Mundane Monday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Craig Turner from Turner's Take Newsletter and Podcast and StoneX. Later, Kerry Artek launches his Monday Artek Attack. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, woo. Thank you so much. Man, it's a windows open kind of day, but you got to manage that system. It's not like you can just throw the windows wide open on a day like today. Yeah. Get the draft blowing through the house, because it could rearrange the decorations if you did that today, the way the wind's blowing.
You're pursuing a little amateur HVAC career there, are you, buddy?
Yes.
That's it's all about exactly the airflow.
Right. That's right. That's right. So I'm just warning you, at some point you could hear a door slam just viciously shut during the show today.
So we, in that event, we should not necessarily assume that you've upset the wife, right?
No. Okay. I wouldn't make that assumption at all. Excuse me. Wait. What? Hey, I'm on the air. No, I wouldn't make that assumption at all.
Yikes.
Wow. You know that doesn't happen. What a week. This is a big week.
I was going to say, it's like Monday, dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a big
week. You mean the week to come?
Coming at us, yes.
Okay,
Number one, we've only got 4 days to get everything done.
That's right.
Keep that in mind. Yeah, Friday on Friday. So we've only got 4 days to get everything done. And on Wednesday, we get what historically has been some trend-setting data for the grain markets. Quarterly grain stocks report and prospective plantings report. We got a real student of the markets on the show today, Craig Turner, help us get ready for those reports and run through some what-if scenarios, right?
Okay.
Why shouldn't we?
Okay. Why shouldn't we? Let's extrapolate just a little bit. Shall we extrapolate?
Oh, word of the day. There it is.
Just saying.
Love it. All right, man. Let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Chip, July soft red winter wheat futures opened higher, fell to moderate losses at mid-morning, then clawed their way all the way back to slightly higher on the close, with professional trading funds moving from the long side of the market throughout the month-long downtrend. There is some speculation a seasonal play could encourage rebuilding of those long positions as the winter wheat crop greens up and the spring crop is planted. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of March 25 totaled just over 302,000 metric tons. That was under trade expectations. July HRW wheat a penny higher, 575 and a half. July soft red firmed 2¾ cents, 612. September spring wheat 2¼ cents lower, 628¾. Chip.
I'm a little surprised to see the strength in the winter wheat market today. I really was, because we've got some moisture out in the central plains, the southern plains, and that Russian wheat market has been pulling back. So I don't know how much longer we can avoid the spillover pressure from that.
Corn and export inspections of nearly 1.7 million metric tons lined up with trade expectations, but were below last week. Any setback in corn shipments from the 2 million metric ton mark could leave the market vulnerable to late year cancellations or rolling sales to the next marketing year. May corn futures have traded on both sides of 550 for 8 consecutive sessions as traders spin their wheels, waiting on Wednesday's quarterly grain stocks and prospective plantings reports from USDA. May corn futures 5¾ cents lower, 546¾. July corn fell 4½ cents to 531¼. December corn closed at 461¼, down 5¼ cents. Sounds like the volatility has gone all Suez Canal on us here.
Yeah, it slowed down some in this corn market. I just don't think there's been a lot of volume in this market, and probably won't be until we get refocused on weather toward the end of the week.
May bean futures fell to within 3 cents of support at 1380 before buying re-entered the market to pull prices back up to a mid-range close. Lower soybean meal prices and higher bean oil futures turned into a tug-of-war for the bean market again today. By the end of the day, the combination of lower corn and lower bean meal prices capped the recovery attempt in bean futures. Yep. Export inspections of beans in the week ended March 25 totaled just over 425,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. May bean futures 7½ cents lower, 1393. July down 6 cents, 1385¼. November bean futures 1204½. Down 2¾ cents, are we headed for an 11 handle on the new crop beans, Chip?
Well, we might, at least for a period of time. Depends on if we get there by Wednesday or not. May soybean meal down 590 at 398.10. There we are with that front month meal contract under 400 bucks again. It might be a buying opportunity there. May bean oil futures were up 48 ticks at 52.96. If that would persist for a period of time, that bean oil support could help beans.
May cotton was 8 ticks higher, 80.46. December cotton off 24 to close at 78.50. Livestocks quickly. Last week's strength in cash cattle and boxed beef prices combined with today's lower corn prices pushed the cattle complex higher. April up 87½ cents, 120.97½. June fats up 87½ to close at 122.65. April feeders up $1.95, 147.07½. And on the snout side, April lean hogs 42½ lower, 137½. June hogs dropped 37½ cents, 105.22½. Chip.
Right. Okay. Just a little bit of profit taking going on in that hog market. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing this afternoon, Jack?
Oh, doing fine. Nice sunny day here in Chicago. How are you?
Doing just fine. Same thing here with the wind blowing. Markets are feeling a little bit like it's a hurry up and wait for the reports on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people are just adjusting positions before the report. Last week, you kept on hearing, well, what happens if the report's bullish? Now today, you are starting to hear, well, what's going to happen if the report's bearish? And basically, we know that there's going to be probably a pretty big move in either direction, based on if the report is bullish or bearish, and I think specifically the stocks report. I don't think anybody has a real big problem with the planning's intentions report. The numbers there are pretty high. The estimates there are already pretty high, but the stocks report estimates are low, and we could get a bearish surprise there, I suppose.
Well, and the range on the estimates, Jack, is fairly wide, isn't it? I mean, it leaves us in a situation where somebody is going to end up being surprised by the grain stocks.
Oh yeah, oh somebody's, yeah, for farmers out there, you hope it's a bullish surprise, but it may not be. But we keep on, I keep on hearing about how many of the producers have already liquidated their soybeans and pretty much liquidated their corn. Yeah. So, they've sold the corn out. So I think we could have a little bit of a bullish surprise here, especially on the on-farm stocks, and we'll see how it goes.
Excellent. Excellent. Good work, Jack. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds great.
You bet. That's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. We got Craig Turner, StoneX, up next. You know weeds can impact potential corn yields, but how do you measure it? I'm joined today by Steve Gomm, corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta. Steve, tell us a little bit about the relationship between weeds and yields.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chip. Essentially, immediately after you plant, your corn's yield potential is at its absolute highest. And then you start to get these environmental stressors immediately after you plant that reduce that yield potential. So higher yield potential really starts with early season weed control. because once the weed emerges, it steals vital nutrients and water, among other things that are needed for corn growth and grain fill.
Okay, so these weeds that emerge with the corn plant, how does it impact the health of the plant?
Well, early season weeds fundamentally alter corn growth, health, and eventually its potential yield. So weeds present at corn emergence are an immediate source of stress and cause corn to enact a series of defensive measures. These will include things like corn stalks growing taller and leaves growing wider, and that's to better compete for sunlight. The corn leaves grow parallel to the row versus out into the row to avoid competing directly for sunlight. All of these things are really irreversible, and they're going to have a negative impact on the yield overall.
Okay, so for corn growers that are looking to control those tough weeds, maximize yield potential, what herbicide do you recommend?
Only Acuron corn herbicide unlocks your full yield potential because it controls those tough weeds other products are missing. And when applied pre-emergent and at a full labeled use rate, replicated Syngenta and University trials show Acuron out-yields competitors by 5 to 15 bushels an acre.
Excellent, Steve. Thank you. To find out what an extra 5 to 15 bushels an acre with Acuron corn herbicide could mean for your revenue potential, try the online calculator at www.findmorebushels.com or talk to your local Syngenta retailer. And remember to always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron yield advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
That's a good sunshine and go for a cruise song right there, dude.
You betcha. Roll down the truck windows and stick your hand out. You know, kind of like hold your palm really flat and do that sort of like you're sort of surfing.
The roller coaster thing?
Through the wind. Yeah. If you get going fast enough, man, it'll really move, you know?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Keep your eyes on the road, though. I mean,
yeah, it's fun if you can take a dog with you, too.
Oh, the dogs, yes.
Yeah, they love getting out there. Yeah, especially if you got, like, a St. Bernard or something that, like, really drools, gets into it.
Put the kids in the back seat and...
Yeah.
Yes, I see where you're going.
Yeah, let them know what that's all about. Love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Love it.
That's good fun for everyone.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Okay. Like we were talking about with Jack, we've got the big reports coming up on Wednesday. And I want to dig... We're going to dig into it without getting into the specifics. And if Craig wants to talk about the specific trade survey estimates, we can do that. As a matter of fact, we probably will have to do that because of the wide range that's involved there. But I just want to stay big picture and get the likely responses out of from what Craig thinks we're going to see. So let's bring him in right now. Craig Turner, Turner's Take, and StoneX. How you doing, Craig? It's good to talk with you again.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Happy to be here. And yeah, let's get to it.
Let's do it. So I want to start with the quarterly grain stocks report, and I want to start with corn. This wide range of expectations there, Craig, what does that set the market up for?
Yeah, so there is a wide range of expectations. I mean, between the analysts, we're about 7.5 and almost 8 billion on the bushels there. And the thing is, quarterly stocks are probably the hardest one to estimate, and corn's probably the toughest because the feed number. You know, the USDA does a great job letting us know about exports. They know that we get a good idea of where ethanol is, you know, during the quarter. But for feed and what's being used for feed, we don't. And sometimes the biggest misses can be on these quarterly stocks numbers. And a lot of times it's, you know, it's the feed and residual. So the trade's looking for about 7.7, 7.8 billion. I know my company, StoneX, is closer to 7.6. And when you've got a carryout of 1.5 billion, and a lot of people think that carryout should be lower because exports to China have been higher. $100 million here and $100 million there is a big deal and can certainly be a
Yep.
A 15, 20 to 25 cent move in corn. And, you know, if we just remember 18 months ago when we were talking about a 3 billion carryout, well, 100 million bushels is like a bucket of water out of the lake. But that's not the case right now. I mean, 150 million bushels be a big move.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And with the shipping pace that we've seen, like Jack was saying last week, the popular conversation, as I saw it, Craig, was the look at the shipping pace on corn. We're set up. The pounds of meat produced. Yeah, there may be some fewer hogs. Our broiler numbers are down just a bit, but look at the cattle side of things. Look at how all that conversation was pointed at. I think we're going to get a bullish grain stocks number on corn. And then today, after people had an opportunity to think about it over the weekend, all of a sudden it was, well, but wait, we know what the corn grind is for ethanol. We know what the export number is. And yeah, you know what? We did have fewer hogs and we do have fewer birds. Therefore, maybe we're set up for a bearish number.
Right.
It's amazing it's how the flip-flop happens. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the uncertainty. You know, analysts will, just like new crop versus old crop, analysts in the trade will trade it. And here's another thing that I've just a little bit concerning for the stocks number is, you know, the USDA did have the opportunity to increase exports and bring ending stocks for corn below 1.5 billion, you know, last time around the WASD, and they didn't. And are they just slow to react, or do they think that at some point China buys so much from the United States, it just pushes our traditional customers somewhere else? Kind of like the opposite of what happened with soybeans, you know, when China went to South America, you know, during the tariff war. So there's a lot of uncertainty either way. And I think, you know, no one's going to be able to call this, you know, with any kind of certainty, like a crystal ball, but the analysts that have been saying, hey, this could go big either way, and there could be a big surprise, I completely agree with them. And if you look at where everyone's positioned, there's a lot of longs out there. So, you know, from the spec side, you know, we're just from like, what's the biggest potential move? It's probably a bearish surprise, which is probably why we've seen some pressure here as people square up positions. They're probably taking off some length too.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. How sensitive is the market to the grain stocks numbers? In other words, does a 7-point, well, yeah, a 7.5 would get you a bullish reaction, wouldn't it?
I think 7.5 gets a very bullish reaction. That would be below any of the estimates from the range. So, yeah. So, but the range they're looking for is about, like, I guess 7. I was rounding down. It's like 7.55 to like almost 8. So, yeah, 7.5 would be at the bottom or right below the bottom guess. It would be bullish. It would imply that the USDA does have to bring down ending stocks in the next WASDE by maybe, you know, 100 or 200 million, which is what a lot of people are thinking to begin with, and that would be the confirmation of it.
Okay. Now, if we get a number close to the top end of the range, how bearish would it be with all the uncertainty of another growing season in front of us?
It wouldn't. It's not going to kill the market, right? It's not going to. We're not going to 360, you know, or something like that. But, you know, could July test $5? Could new crop, you know, come back down to, you know, 440 or something like that? Because if you add on a couple 100 million bushels, you know, instead of talking about 1.4, 1.5 million on the carryout, and we're flirting with that all important 10% stock to usage, you know, we add 200 more on, and then there's no shortage of corn. Now, I've heard you and your show and others and just talk about the basis and how strong the cash market is. And, you know, my clients that I work with, they don't have any corn left. And, you know, sometimes this time of year you get, you know, the elevators run out, but the farmers are holding on to it. But that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like guys are clearing out. So, I mean, if we would come down that far, you know, but you would think, because the demand's so strong, because the market's so tight, it would find some support there. Plus, you're right, the growing season's right around the corner.
Okay. All right. Now, let's do the add-on here and talk about the acres and the acreage outlook for 2021 corn production. Because that number could influence how bullish or bearish the grain stocks number is. So let's, what's the average trade guess going into it on corn for acres?
Right around 93 million. Yeah, it's right around 93 million. You know, the range was 92, which was the Ag Forum number, and the high range I've seen was about 94 and a half, and the estimate's just above 93. Just above 93, which implies a little bit of a build on a trade, on a trend line.
Okay, so talk through that, Craig. A little bit of a build on trendline yield. What yield are you looking at?
Okay, so not to get too heavy into the weeds here, but like if the trendline yield from the Ag Forum was 179.5. So if we have 93 million acres and that trendline yield, and are fairly conservative, you know, with year over year demand, you know, keeping ethanol and exports right around where they were, we think they'll be. We have an ending stock of about 1.7 billion, which isn't tight, and it's not burdensome, right? So it's kind of in this snug to adequate range, which means, in my mind, corn is around high threes to mid fours, you know, next year, if we're talking about 1.7 billion carryout. The thing is, if we're at 92 million acres corn, which I'd find hard to believe, but let's just, because the market's telling everyone and their brother to plant corn and soybeans, but let's just say it was at 92 million and you have a yield of like 177 and normal demand, you know, ending stocks again are about 1.5, 1.4. And we're kind of in the same situation we are now with corn in the four and in the five. And I guess corn can go to $6 on some pretty good weather rally, right, in that situation. I think where the market would get a little bit concerned, if we're at 94 million, or maybe we, for somehow, some reason, blow out the top end of this range and come in at 95 million, you know, that new stock, we won't see the new crop carryout from the WASD until May, but you would have to assume it'd be about 2 billion.
Right.
At 94 plus, right? And 2 billion corn just means our old average range of, you know, mid threes to low fours for corn, you know, in the next year or two, if that ends up being the case.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Man, the music surprised me. I can't believe that's the end of that first segment. Okay, we just did corn. We're going to come back and do beans when we come back. All right, Craig?
That sounds great.
All right. Yeah, we're talking with Craig Turner, Turner's Take, Stone X. We'll continue the conversation next right here on AgriTalk.
American-based and family-run, Simplot Grower Solutions knows what it takes to keep a farm and your way of life productive and thriving. It takes field-proven insights backed by trusted technologies and products that help you get the most out of every acre. It takes a local ag expert you can grow with, a down-to-earth partner focused on your success. Head to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com and take the next step with us. Simplot Grower Solutions, in your fields, by your side.
It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. Freezing U.S. temps later this week are unlikely to cause permanent soft wheat crop damage. Tax Foundation says proposed corporate tax hike would cut jobs and incomes. Demand for wheat offered at China's weekly auctions continues to fade. China sold just 26% of the wheat offered in the latest auction. Russian-Ukrainian wheat export prices continue to slide. Ukraine's spring wheat planting season begins, but it is a few weeks later than normal due to the lingering cold in the region. Wheat Quality Council tour will happen in mid-May this year instead of the first week of May. Chinese anti-dumping duties of nearly 176% on Australian wine took effect on Sunday. Give ProFarmer a try at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. We are having a conversation with Craig Turner from Turner's Take, Stone X, today. Before we get back to that, Davis, if
yes?
you would please recap how the market's closed.
Uh-huh. Well, July HRW wheat was a penny higher, 575.5. September spring wheat, 2.25 cents lower, 628.75. May corn futures, 5.75 cents lower today, 546.75. December corn closed at 4.61 and one quarter, also down 5.25 cents. May bean futures 7.5 cents lower, 13.93. November bean futures closed at 12.04 and a half, down 2.75 cents. May cotton was 8 ticks higher, 80.46. June cattle gained 87.5 cents to close at 122.65. April feeders up a buck 95, 147.07 and one half. And April lean hogs 42.5 lower at $100.37 and one half. There's your quick market recap. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Davis. Craig Turner, Turner's Take. And he's part of Daniel's Trading, which is part of Stone X now. We ran through – great job running through the corn situation, Craig. I want to do the same thing on soybeans. And let's start it off with the expectations, what you're looking for in that quarterly grain stocks report on soybeans. And I'll just remind you that earlier you said that corn – stocks on a quarterly basis may be the most difficult to figure out. Why would beans be easier?
Beans are just a little bit easier because most of the beans, you know, are through either export or the crush. And the export system does a great job of reporting. And so the USDA and on a weekly basis, we should be able to keep track on that. And with the crush, with the NOPA report, I want to say that 95% of all beans crushed are through one of those companies or firms that report through that system. So it's just a little bit easier. You know, the problem with corn, it's the feed side. It can be so difficult to get a handle on. Now, that doesn't mean we can't have misses in soybeans. And, you know, even look at the range, like 1.4 billion to 1.8 billion is the estimated range on soybeans with the trade average. It's huge. That's more than what the ending stocks are. The range is bigger than the estimated ending stocks. So it's just such a big, big number. And if you're wrong on either side, I guess, I don't know. I can't remember the soybean range being this wide and this tight, you know, going back to 2006 or 2007. So it's going to be an interesting one. You know, when we talk about ending stocks, I mean, quarterly stocks, that's all about old crop, and that's going to rule the day. You know, just in that last segment, when we talk about the plantings, that's all about new crop. And those are really for price forecasts where we could be, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now. Yeah. So the big number tomorrow is these quarterly stocks ones.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, you got to think with soybeans, everyone's so long, but the funds are so long. You know, if you get a bearish number here, could we see limits? Depending on how big the miss is, I guess we could see limits tomorrow.
Right. Right. Okay.
Either way. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now here's kind of my thinking going, well, before we talk about the likely price reaction out of a miss, I've been kicking something around in my head. When we get the Monday export inspections report, Craig, we've gone through a period of time where there has been revisions to the previous week. And sometimes these have been big time revisions to the previous week, like missing 4, 5, 6 boats that were loaded. It's crazy. And I'm not just talking about on soybeans, I'm talking about on corn too.
Yep.
What concerns me is and I don't remember a time where we've gone through revisions on that like we are or like we have this year. What concerns me is that those revisions are just a symptom of a broader problem, and somehow, some way, the export number that everybody thinks we've got a good handle on, including me, all of a sudden we don't have a good handle on it because they got to go back and revise even more of those export inspections. Right. It brings some uncertainty into it for me, Craig. And I don't like that.
No, I completely agree with you. It's a very good point that you bring up. That is certainly a possibility. And, you know, I know as a broker here, with StoneX and on my podcast for Turner's Take and newsletter, it's been about reducing risk. I think, you know, there's been a lot of length in this market, whether it's farmers buying back or it's the spec trade. And I got to tell you, like, we've all been going through our books this past week, and it's, you know, and if it's limited exposure, it's fine. If it's not, get rid of it. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, where do you think the market's going to go? And unfortunately, you asked me that in the medium long term, I've got some more confidence. But in the short term, for exactly the reasons you state, You just don't know. And it feels like a little bit you're kissing those dice and throwing them down the craps table, you know, just to see what the USDA is going to say.
Right. Right. So true. So true. Yeah. Okay. So if the bean, if the March 1 bean stocks come in 20 million bushels below trade expectations, it's bullish. If they come in 20 million bushels above the trade expectations, I don't think it's all that bearish.
Because they're already tight, right? I mean, it's we're already tight, and we don't have a whole lot to lose. And we'll see what that planting record, you know, the planting number is. I think you're right. I think, it's going to be tight. It's just depending on, are we going to have $13 beans, $14 beans, $15 beans? You know, beans aren't going back to $9. Right. You know, so it's just how tight are we? And it can cause some volatility, you know, over the day or two. And I agree with that. I don't think it can be that bearish. If we are, but the thing is, like, if we are 1.8 billion or something like that, and the trade was working for 1.5 billion, now, some of these ranges, I just don't understand where some of them come from. But I think the realistic range is probably somewhere between maybe 1.48 to 1.58, and I know that's 100 million bushels either way, but you know, the thing is, it's where stocks are as of March 1. We got 6 months left of the marketing season, and you know, South America will probably be able to make up some kind of deficit if there is on the stocks.
Yeah, and the other thing that comes into play here, Craig, and I know that you know this, but it's the size of the 2020 bean crop here in the U.S. If USDA's got it exactly right, then it should be close to that average number. If there's some movement to anticipate on, you know, crop revisions in the future to last year's crop, this is the first good opportunity to get a hint that that might happen.
Right, and that's been an argument on the corn market for years. You know, when the USDA has underestimated, overestimated, it will start to show up in the March stocks report. That would be true for soybeans also, if that's the case. So just another wild card to amp up the potential for the volatility. Yep.
Okay, let's get to the acreage conversation here on soybeans. If it's not 90, Craig, it's bullish.
Yes. My personal opinion, I think a lot of people agree with me out there. If we're not 90 million acres, we've got a problem. At 90 million acres and a 50.5 yield, which is going to be trend line according to the Ag Forum, we use just as much as we consume from the year before. So if ending stocks are 120 for this old crop, at 90 million acres and 50.5, you know, we're probably at 120 again next year. So we're in the same situation, and whatever new crop prices are now, they'll eventually start looking like old crop prices next year if things don't change. So, I mean, my gut is telling me that we've got to come up with these soybean acres. It's tough to tell where they're going to, I mean, we're already going to, that's what, a build on 7 million already from last year, going from 83 to 90. And you just got to ask yourself, you know, can we go to 91? And even if we did go to 91 million acres, and let's say the summer weather was very good and we had a trend line yield of 51.5, I mean, ending stocks would still be under 300 million at the end of the year. Now, that's still bullish. I mean, it's not as bullish as it is now, but, you know, and soybeans are still like that 10 and 11 range historically when we have those ending stocks. I mean, if we have 89 million acres and maybe a little bit below trend line yield, you have to have some pretty big price rationing, and, you know, prices would make the next leg higher. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure how high that can go in that case.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there some of those numbers have been tossed around in the past, and I don't know if we need to toss numbers around like have gotten into the market. But, yeah, I get exactly what you mean. And let's take it back to some of your risk management comments that you made. Anything that you've got right now, you want to maintain some pricing flexibility on it. That's just a simple way of saying you're either using puts or you're making cash sales and covering it with a call, right?
That's exactly what we're doing. So kind of like the collar situation, you know, and sometimes we're, you know, in the past we'd been selling put spreads and buying call spreads and either making the sale locally like an HTA or selling it on the board. Anyways, it'd always be limited risk in some way with the futures and options market. You know, now that we're StoneX, you know, we also use the OTC and swap market, especially for going farther out more than a year. So those kind of things, absolutely. And a lot of guys with re-ownership were, you know, doing buying calls and selling puts. I want no interest in being short, you know, puts heading into this thing. I don't mind. You know what I mean? I mean, and, you know, and if we're going to be having hedges on with short futures, then I certainly hope we have some, you know, we're going to have some call premium, you know, to the upside just in case. You know, I just remember 2012, and even when you think you have great cash prices or great prices on the board, it seemed a way to work a lot higher than you thought you would, and you just don't want to deal with that stuff.
Yep. Fantastic job, Craig. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That's Craig Turner, Turner's Take, and StoneX Brokerage. Okay, when we come back, it's Monday. You know what that means. Terry Hartack, Hartack Advisory, with the chart update next.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back. Glad that you're with us today. I'm Chip. Got Davis Michelson with us.
Davis.
So just a heads up for tomorrow, we're going to talk livestock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the afternoon show.
Well, let's do.
Yeah, and one of the reasons is you know, at the end of tomorrow's show, I'll make sure that everybody's got the average pre-report trade guesses for the prospective plannings report and for the quarterly grain stocks report. We'll go over that one last time. But that was a solid rundown of what ifs going into the prospective plannings and quarterly grain stocks report, and I thought he did a fantastic job of presenting an example of how you watch the grain stocks first, and then after that, we'll take a look at the prospective plannings report, because the prospective plannings report will determine just how bullish or bearish a number is on the grain stocks.
Sure.
Okay?
That makes a lot of sense.
I thought it was really good.
It's really good. Yeah.
Okay. Let's bring in Kerry Hartack, Hartack Advisory. How you doing, Kerry?
Doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Don't forget, everybody, go to Hartack, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. Look for the AgriTalk link at the top of the page, and there is a video there helping you to better understand what we're about to talk about right now. Kerry, where are you starting?
I'm going to start with the U.S. dollar. It's really an update from about a month ago. Yeah, the June U.S. dollar, this is a futures. I had a buy signal in early March. It's taken a while to sort of get underway, but it has over the last week or so. So I've been expecting about a 5% gain in the U.S. currency. It's trading around 92.92 last. There's a solid floor of support at 91.35, that above which we should, over the next few months, continue on up into the 96 handle. 96.42 remains a 2 to 3 month target. That would be about a 5% gain in the U.S. dollar over the next few months, and 96.42 is an area where the U.S. currency can actually top out, or the U.S. dollar index, I should say, top out into later year. Now, if we break back and fall, close below 91.35 at the end of this week, and I don't see that happening, but if so, then the market has indicated a good high through spring. We should then, over the course of the next several months, fall back to 88.30. long-term support, which is an area we almost tested a few months ago. It can absorb annual selling pressures, and as long as we're above 88.30 in the U.S. dollar index, the longer-term dynamic for the U.S. dollar remains stable, and we're actually bullish right now for the next few months. On to May feeder cattle. We are approaching a targeted area I've been mentioning on your show now for a few months. I keep saying mid-150s. It's actually 154.55 May contract. We settled today at 152.20. We had a high of 153.17. So we're certainly pushing inside that 1% zone.
Yeah.
154.55, it's like five-year channel top that actually could contain annual buying pressures. And from here, we could fall back into the 136.70 region over the next few months. We could trade inside 136.70 to 154.55 all the way through summer, perhaps. But if we close the week above 154.55 by a 1% margin, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm going to say 156 and change, let's say May contract, Thursday settlement. This market is then indicating longer-term bullish continuation. And by longer term, 2 to 3 months, 173.20, and 2 to 3 years, 225 even, because of the scope of that long-term formation. Yep. So big area we're testing right now, 154.55 May feeder cattle, below which we can fall back into summer, above which we're off to the races for an extended period of time. And finally, June lean hogs. We settled last week above a critical long-term resistance area, now a floor of support at 100.27. We closed today at 105.22. And over the next, 3 to 5 months, 6 months, let's call it, I'm expecting 134.90 to the upside. Along the way, I might as well throw out a few of these stair-step resistance areas, 108 even, 113.5, 121.5, and 127.5, all of them able to contain at least weekly, if not monthly, buying pressures when tested. But bottom line with June lean hogs, we do have a long-term buy signal above 100.27, 134.90, now a big picture objective. If we back off and close Thursday, the end of the week, back below 100.27, that's a failed long-term buy signal, and I would expect the market to ease back to 86.20 over the next few months. But that's not happened. Bullish above 100.27 June lean hogs, and that'll remain in effect into summer trade.
Gotcha. Man, you're talking about getting back up into the pet fee levels with that kind of a move. All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Chip. Take care.
You bet. That's Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Don't forget, go to artakadvisory.com for the video explanation of that. National Weather Service, 6 to 10-day outlook. This is for April 4th through the 8th, has got the above-normal temperatures in the forecast. And I mean okay. 80% odds, 80% odds of above-normal temperatures across Minnesota, southeast North Dakota, most of South Dakota, most of Nebraska, most of Kansas, northern Missouri, northern Illinois, northwest Indiana, and even southwest Michigan and Wisconsin there. And, of course, Iowa's stuck in the middle of all that. So that's 80% odds.
Yeah.
The rest of the country, except for the West Coast, is looking at below normal, or is looking at above normal temperatures. We've got below normal temperatures expected out on the West Coast. We've got above normal.
Yeah, go ahead.
What?
Well, I just wonder if that implies that Farmer Bob Northwest Moe, if there's an 80% chance he'll be planting in a Speedo. I just wonder if there's a correlation.
I hope there might not. Be. I hope not. We've got above normal precipitation expected through North Dakota, eastern South Dakota, Iowa, into northern Missouri, Wisconsin, Minnesota on the above normal precip. All other areas of the Corn Belt looking at normal to below normal precipitation. The eastern belt in particular is looking at below normal precipitation. That's for that April 4 through the 8th. And then in the 8 to 14 day, I'll just tell you this real quick. We've got an expansion of the above normal precipitation dipping further into the south, but the above normal temperatures are expected to stick around April 6th through the 12th. All right? All right. Very for good. Davis and for producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thanks for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we've got Brandon Honeycutt from Nebraska and energy analyst Phil Flynn. Tomorrow afternoon, Lee Scholes, Iowa State University. Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.